Hello and welcome to the God is a Geek podcast as we get nearer the elusive number 400. My name is Adam Cook and Christopher White. It's not actually technically going to be number 400 when we get there. Did you know that?
No, sorry. Sorry, I got a bit of a cough. No, I didn't know that.
Really? It's not, because we used to do a thing called Godcast Extra. Mm. We used to call the podcast the Godcast. I think that was even before your time.
It was, yeah.
So it just technically won't be 400. We've done more than 400 episodes. But hey, you know, it'd still be number 400 in a couple of months' time, wouldn't it?
Sure will, yeah.
It's just us this week, Chris. Just us. Just you and little old me here to talk about some damn video games.
It is, but, like, video games are here. They're bloody here.
Yeah. heaven forbid we did have anyone else here, because there'd be no room to talk. Chris,
No. We
have got, just to get this out of the way at the start of the podcast, we have got the following games we can talk about on this damn podcast right here. Persona 5 Royal.
Woo.
Ori and the Will of the Wisps.
Woo.
Doom Eternal.
Woo.
Animal Crossing New Horizons.
Oh.
Where should we start, Chris? You pick. You be the listener, the conduit.
Personally, I would like to get into Doom Eternal, and I'll tell you why. Because I started playing Doom, well, for the second time about 2 days ago, just because I wanted a game. Because obviously I've been on Persona, which we'll get to, but I wanted something to jump into and just play. Because obviously Persona is quite a labour-intensive game, whereas I just wanted something to go around and shoot people. And I just I didn't forget how good it was, but because it's been so long, it was just so nice to just have that ease of play and just that mental. It's just phenomenal. So I really want to know whether it compares or not.
So Doom 2016, as we are now all sort of calling it, right, was fast-paced. And it's one of those games where you sort of think, where could they go from here? Well, what they did is they took it from 10, where it was at, and I know you're probably thinking he's going to say, oh, this one goes to 11. No, they kind of took it to, like, 6 million.
Huh.
Like, this game's mental. Like, it is unbelievable. First of all, right, it is... Like, I know Titanfall, for example, is an example of a 60-frame smooth game. You know, Call of Duty's good at this. But this game is, like, butter.
Oh.
It is unbelievable. And the... So I think the first thing people are going to worry about is there too much story, right? I'll be honest with you, about 4 hours in, I was kind of wishing there was more story because I found the Doom 2016 lore quite cool and interesting.
Yeah.
It wasn't like in your face, but there was bits there.
Yeah.
And I was actually wanting a bit more of it because there's a big... The end of Doom 2016 sort of, without spoiling, does leave on a bit of a cliffhanger. The Doom Eternal... doesn't pick up from there.
Right, okay.
It's just this... And I saw bits and pieces in the preview coverage that people put out that made me sort of go, huh. But, like, there's... Oh, I don't even know where to start. The systems in this game, man. There is systems upon systems. Like, in the original game, you know, you could do certain things to get ammo. Like, you could do glory kills to get health.
Yeah.
That they've done that again, but now they've added in a flamethrower thing that you can, if you burn them, if you shoot them while they're on fire, they drop shields, armor.
Ooh.
You know, like, so you've got a combination of things here. Like, there's never too much ammo, there's never too much health, there's never too much armor. You kind of have to almost min-max all the time as to, like, right, okay, I've got low health, right, okay, right, I need to glory kill that guy. Oh, now I've run out of ammo, right, I need to chainsaw that guy. Okay, oh, I can do some shields, right, set these four demons on fire and I can get some loads of shields off them. Okay, and all the while, the thing about Doom Eternal is if you stop moving, you're dead. It's that same thing from Doom 2016.
Right, okay. Like,
It's a purely momentum-based game. You will die if you stop. The enemy AI is designed to funnel you out of it. They've got weak points on some of the enemies now. First weapon you get is a shotgun, and one of the first things you can get is like a grenade launcher or rocket launcher on your shotgun. I think it's a grenade launcher. And I think it's the Arachnotron, the big spidery dude.
Yeah.
It's got like a laser turret, and it shoots the shit out of you, but if you shoot it with the grenade, it can't do that anymore. I think it's is it Mancubus? Is the big sort of fat guy with two guns on?
Yeah.
If you use the assault rifle's precision mode, which is another mod, you can shoot those guns off, and it can only kind of be up close and personal with you. You can pick it off. The thing about this is all of this is happening at like a million miles an hour.
Mm.
It is insane.
Yeah.
It, and they know. in the first game, there's a moment at the start when the music stops and he cocks his shotgun, right? And it's a quite a supremely sort of confident moment where you sort of go, oh, yeah. Eternal's got a moment similar, but it's also got a moment about sort of 3.5 hours in where, I'm not going to spoil it here at all, but there's a moment where one of the very few seconds where they take control away from you and they know exactly what you're thinking, and then you go, I know what you're thinking, to the developer almost, and then it's almost like this mental gymnastics. You talk to each other and you go like, I'm going to do what you think I'm going to do. You know I'm going to do it, right? And then you do it, and again, it's like, oh, it's primordial.
Yeah.
It is a primordial game. It is, it's just incredible. There's a slight concern when you first get into it that there are just too many systems. There are too many, not currencies as such, but like unlocks. Like,
okay,
there's,
yeah.
You've got the Praetor suit you can unlock. You've got runes. You've got weapon mods. You've got another one I'm forgetting right now. There are at least 4 different things you can unlock, all of which allow you to build your Doom guy. Like, it creates a synergy. Mm. You know, do you upgrade your health? Do you upgrade your ammo capacity? You know, this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But the gameplay, Chris.
Well, what I want to know, first off, like, glory kills this time around. Like, yeah. Is there a more diverse range of them? Are they?
Yeah, I think there's like 3 or 4 per enemy. Like, if you're above,
yeah.
I'd killed like multiple Kaka demons, and then I was behind one when I put it into like the stunned state, and I jumped and just thought, well, he'll just jump and turn it round. But there's an animation for doing one from behind.
Oh,
it is. It's just, there's so much. It's the gamiest game ever. Like, you know, you're constantly seeing low health, low ammo, everything all the time. You know, you're seeing that all, but you have to, because it's so much happening.
Mm.
It's just bizarre. Like, the motion, now you've got, like, you got your double jump from the start. You get a dash pretty quickly, which gives you, like, 2 dashes in the air. Like, you don't touch the ground, man. Like, you can chain together stuff in a way. Like, it is, I think I'm probably letting on that I quite like it.
No, I mean, it sounds amazing. Like, I think with id Software, like, they are masters of the craft. And the thing with Rage 2, like, the thing with that was the kind of gunplay was amazing, but it was let down a lot by everything else. So having a game, you know, going back to what they're known for and ramping it up, it's not anyone can do this. And the fact that you're telling me how, like, all these different things that make it, you know, stand out more so than the original, it's just amazing.
Like with the sort of critical head on, at first, when you unlock, like, the last system, so to speak, there is a bit of you that goes, is this maybe one too many things to be thinking about? Like, you know, is this maybe just one too many? Like, you can even switch grenade styles. Like, I don't want to spoil what you get, but there is more than just a grenade. But there is that just a brief second where you're like, oh God, is this just too much? Can I cope with this? And yet, when I finished one session, the levels are quite long, by the way. The levels are quite long, especially if you're like me and I love going around the map and finding the little secrets and references. And I finished the level, and it actually was a sort of what the first part of a larger section. It was like a story level. And I would normally, you know, you never, if it's almost like, imagine like a game where you approach somewhere and that's an hour long level, and then the next level is you inside the area you're approaching.
Yeah.
It's that kind of thing, and you'd never normally stop there. You'd like go, right, I'm going to carry on now. But I could feel like it had me so, I was so in the zone for that session that I had to sort of go, I need to stop because I need to almost calm down. Like, I could, it's the first game to make my palms sweaty in a long time.
Yeah.
You know? Like the tension, because, you know, you're attacking a combat puzzle for the 4th time after dying 3 times, and you know you can do it. You just have to keep moving, and if I try this, maybe I'll get rid of him first this time, you know. Because if I quickly snipe the Mancubus's, you know, guns off, he's no real threat to me.
Mm.
And if I use the shield guys, if I use the plasma rifle on the shield guys, they blow up. So, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. What are the guns like?
Ah, they're brilliant. Like, there's one gun, I think they've said it's in there, but I don't want to say it. Yeah. I don't want to say it, because I just, the moment you get it is, we'll be talking about that moment at the end of the year.
Oh,
like, it's that good. The moment you get this particular gun,
yeah. Is the chainsaw back?
Yeah, chainsaw's there.
I know it's a small thing, but
the chainsaw and the grenades are the ones I forget the most. Like, I always think, because fire, I think, is like I'm playing on PlayStation, so it's triangle. So I can quickly tap triangle and set them on fire, and I can almost be backpedaling or dashing backwards to shoot them for armor, as I, you know. But the chainsaw is the one I always forget for some reason. The grenade, I always forget I've got a grenade.
Yeah.
Because when you're shooting three rockets out of your assault rifle because you've used that mod, you sort of, grenades seem a little bit, you know.
Yeah, of course. Do you, like, the levels themselves, because obviously the first one, you can get around different platforms relatively well. Have they kind of gone all out with the level design and you can still maneuver it very, very easily? Or is it a bit trickier?
Yeah, no, there's, it's designed, every level's designed to keep you moving.
Cool.
Like, again, I can't stress this enough. If you stop moving in Doom, you're dead.
Mm.
So that it's designed to keep you moving. It's very gamey. You know, there are, like, there'd be little glowing yellow things that just are randomly in the air that replenish your dash, a bit like in Celeste.
Yeah.
They will just be there, and there's no explanation for them because it's a game. It doesn't want you to think of it as a deep, interesting, you know, story. It's a video game, ass video game, and it knows that, and it revels in that. You know, everything's glowing, you know, lumescent colours to indicate. Because you wouldn't see them. You wouldn't be able to see them if they weren't bright colours, you know?
Yeah,
it just wouldn't work. But you know, there's poles, and like you can, you know, you double jump, then you double dash, and you grab a pole, spin around it, and jump off the other end, and you get your dash, your jumps back again, and you're just chaining ice. Violent ballet.
Appetite is well and truly whet. When is it out?
20th of March.
20th.
I mean, I had a feeling it was going to be good because of the embargo being so much before the game come out.
Yeah.
Being Bethesda, that sort of has got a...
Yeah. No, that's, you know, impressive.
But, like, you know, and again, even like the multiplayer, I think, is launching. Unfortunately, I haven't had to play the multiplayer yet. I think it's the servers weren't turned on. I can't remember. But I just, I say the only thing I'd worry about is that some people are going to find their systems just a bit too overawing. Like, there's a lot going on in this game, an awful lot going on. But what it boils down to is once you get into the combat ballet, as it were, it's pretty automatic.
Yeah, you know, you're enjoying it. You said there's like a lot of mechanics, but it's not seeming to factor into your overall enjoyment. Like, but you've got used to them, I take it.
Yeah, because at the same time, like, you aren't aiming down sights to fire your shotgun.
No.
Or your rocket launcher. You know, you just... And I tell you what, the AI is excellent. They move.
Mm.
They move. Like, the spider demons, like, again, the Arachnotron, you think you've got a beat on them, and they can just jump, and suddenly they're on the ceiling, shooting down from above. Like, they aren't there to look pretty. They are there to kill you.
Yeah. Well, that's what I found with the first one. Like, they're never waves, really. They're all...
No.
They all play a role, and they're all very smart. Yeah, exactly. So, like you're saying, you have to keep moving forward, but you have to keep moving around in circles because they're all coming at you from all angles.
Mm.
Yeah, so, yeah. Oh, man, sounds good.
I mean, I suspect we'll talk more about Doom Eternal as, like, more of the team player.
Yeah, of course.
Before we move on, a game I don't want to talk too much about because, to be honest with you, I've been too busy with Doom and Animal Crossing, is Ori and the Will of the Wisps. And I want to give it a shout because it's an Xbox game and no one seems to talk about them.
Mm.
It's brilliant.
I have played a bit of it, yeah.
So you've got an Xbox One S, right?
No.
The white one?
No.
The white one?
No, mine's a black one.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Okay. How... What, the X or just the original?
Just the original.
How's it run?
Fine. I've had no issues with it.
Because pre-release, it seems a bit unfair because the game has been patched, but I also think it's important because some people don't have fast internet, don't update their console. Some people just play off a disc. I had quite bad performance issues with this game on Xbox One X.
Right, okay.
It has been updated twice, like a full client download. So I don't want to harp on about it too much, but like there's been frame rate issues and like micro pauses.
Yeah.
You know, I think they've ironed them out now. I haven't had a chance to go back. But what I would say is, combat's great. I was a bit concerned about seeing they've added like a melee, you know.
It's
really good.
It's weird like when you first start because it is melee, you're very close, so it's like, because I'm not used to doing that in that game, it took a few minutes just to get used to how close you have to be, and their movement a lot of the enemy's movement's quite different, so it just takes a little bit of time.
How much have you played? How much have you played?
About an hour.
So have you unlocked like the heavy attack yet?
Yes.
Yeah, so like that gives you a bit of distance. And the arrow, yes. You got the arrow yet?
No,
yeah.
No, not the arrow.
Okay, so like that, think, that stuff no. gives you ranged attacks and stuff. And I just think it's really smart. It's taking a lot of cues, I think, from Hollow Knight. I don't know if you've played Hollow Knight.
Yeah, I think I reviewed Hollow Knight on the PC.
I think you did, now you say that, yeah.
Yeah,
it was
fantastic.
It's taking quite a few cues from that game, actually. Yeah. You know, in the combat and stuff.
Just like, I know like the start of Ori and the Blind Forest, the intro was like, obviously it's quite emotional, moving or whatever.
Yeah.
But the intro of this just... This world is so beautiful. Like the art is just incredible, and the detail and the lighting and everything about it is just stunning. Like that.
Do you find the art sometimes plays against the game, in that you find it a little bit hard to pass what's active game world and
yeah, because I was.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, because there's a bit where you kind of it's very early on, but you go into that tree and you. Something happens. I'm trying not to ruin it in case anyone's played it.
Yeah.
And then you're like, you're talking, but then you stop talking and you're like, can I move? And I don't know what. Yeah. So that does happen a few times, but I'll definitely be going back. Like it's depending on what difficulty you play on. Like I'm on normal. I'm not going for the hard, but that's a challenge and I'm enjoying it. Like I do. And you're right. It doesn't get a lot of love in this. Oh, it's a real treat so far. Really liking
it.
And people that have
it
played
is.
Hollow Knight and even Dead Cells, like there's a certain style to the combat that reminds me of that. Yeah. So I do. Yeah, it's great.
So before we get onto your big game this week, I just want to mention briefly, I feel like we haven't done it much of a service on the podcast is Nioh 2. I'm going to go back to it. I'll be completely honest with you. There's part of me I might be done with that genre. Like, I spent a lot of years playing those games. Like, I reviewed Dark Souls 3, Bloodborne, I platinumed. We've talked about it before. I spent a lot of time playing a lot of those games. I'm not sure. I was in a... This isn't like, you know, Jerry Springer's moment at the end of the episode or anything, but I was in a bit of a... Not a dark place, but I was a bit low when I first started playing Nioh 2. And it's very hard to start with. Like, it's very unforgiving in a way that even like FromSoft don't fuck around with you that much at the start. Like, we're talking first enemies can one or two shot you.
Right.
And I kind of played it safe, like picked a sword and like as my main weapon and like a hammer as my second weapon. And I think I played it safe because when I watched mixed footage, I was like, I wish I'd gone with some of them weapons, man. They look a lot more fun. But you know, it is what it is. So I think I'm going to restart that game just to give it a fair try because I was in a bit of a, like I say, a bit of a funk. And I was genuinely worried because nothing I played was kind of doing it for me, you know?
Yeah, of course.
Like you, I even played some Persona 5 and I certainly played it like going, oh, this is good. This is good. Mm. But again, that game, we'll get into it now, shall we? But again, that game, I started playing it thinking, oh, this game's amazing. I'm never going to finish this. Why isn't this on Nintendo Switch?
oh, I know.
But I think you've played more of it now than I did of vanilla Persona 5.
Yeah. I mean, the thing with Persona 5 Royal is that it's making an already great game better.
Yes.
And they're not like casual tweaks. They've done quite a lot to it.
It's significant, aren't they?
It's not like... I don't feel like it's a rip-off. I feel like if you've played the original to death, and you wanna delve in again, but you don't go on to play Persona 5 all over again, play this because there's a lot of different things. Some of them are minor, some of them are... Like, there's a lot of aesthetic changes. Like, obviously, the title screen's different, and, like, there's certain animations whilst talk... Like, the characters are talking. If you look at the actual characters, like, where the text is, their mouths are moving. But there's a lot of gameplay tweaks. Like, there's a grappling hook now. The baton pass can be comboed, and that provides, like, a bigger... boost to how much damage you can do, and it's just very smart in that respect. The mementos, so the underground, so there's so much bloody story here, like, but obviously it relies on people's hearts and distorted feelings and all that. The underground is where everybody's hearts kind of form this place underground. And that's received like a new character that pops along called Jose. And he will give you like a type of currency to unlock items or to improve your XP or your overall attack and stuff like that, simply by traveling through mementos and picking up stars and using this stamping system. So he plays into it, and also in the palaces you can collect these things called will seeds, and if you take them back to him, to Jose, he will provide you with some other stuff. So there's that in there. You've got the Thieves' Den, which is kind of like a hub outside of Persona 5. You can either go in there from the main menu or go in there in-game by pausing it and going to Thieves' Den. And it's basically, you can unlock stuff throughout the game, like new music to listen to in this little kind of hub of yours. You can, once you defeat a boss, you can build a statue of them and have that in your little den. Huh. You could switch between the characters to control them whilst you're in this place. So obviously you're playing as you throughout the game, and in this you can play as like Ryuji and Morgana, and you can like run around as a cat and just little stupid little things like that. But you can build like places that you've been to, and you can buy them with certain coins in this world. It's just a little place to kind of appreciate all the things from Persona.
It's kind of cool.
It is. I mean, I didn't spend a lot of time in there. I checked it out.
No,
but it's cool because you can put statues up of your own persona or your friend's persona, and that allows them to come and join you, and you can chat and stuff like that. And again, it's just a cool little thing, and added that.
I was quite surprised, because I shouldn't have been, because reviewing Catherine Full Body last year, it was last year, yeah, it must have been.
Yeah, January.
I was quite surprised by that they had done so much work. Like, I remember talking at the time about how they got the original voice actors back and stuff, and they kind of, it wasn't just a re-release, they'd really done the work. And and like with Persona 5 Royal, again, I it's almost like, come on, Adam, fucking, you know how good this is, play it. But I was quite surprised, like within the first tutorial, they very briefly, admittedly, but they show you that they include the grapple hook right in the beginning tutorial.
Yeah.
And then, like, pretty quickly, you're introduced to the new female character, aren't you, on the tune?
Yes.
Unless that was always there, but I don't remember it being
there. I don't think so. There's quite a few.
But that's also quite a good sign that it's slipped in.
They slip her in quite a bit, and then after the...
Sorry, shouldn't laugh at that.
After the second, this for people that have played it, Madarame, I think it's about June time, you have more to do with her. And that kind of gets brought in, and so does the new kind of area of the game. But there's also like a therapist that comes into the game as well. And like everyone, obviously Kamoshida is a massive dick. Like, we all know that. We all know he's a horrible person. And when he gets his comeuppance, all the people are kind of struggling to get back to school life. So they draft in this psychologist who's a new character. And you can go and spend time talking to him. And it's not like a throwaway thing. You could talk to him to build a new confidant. So within that, you get new personas. So there's ways to unlock, you know, build new personas and bring them into your game. So there's a lot that's been thought about. It's not just a few like visual upgrades. They've done a lot with it, and like it's great. It really is great. And you just have to immerse yourself in it. You can't dabble. If you're gonna play,
you can't play a lot else, can you?
No. So I know it gets says a lot, but it really would be the perfect game for the Switch, because a 100-hour game, you can chip away at that and take it with you, and it'd just be so good. I would love to play this on the Switch, because, as I say, you don't always want to be sat in front of a screen playing this. You like, it's nice to take with you. It's something to immerse yourself in when you're on the train or wherever. So yeah, we'll see. But I mean, if you want to play it, you never played Persona before, then absolutely 100% get this. But also, if you have played it and you want to see what it's about, and you're worried that it's just kind of a few simple additions, then it isn't. There's tons more than I've even said. There's other new characters. There's different music, different visuals. There's load of stuff.
They've changed some of the boss battles up. I don't.
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
Just reading off a cheat sheet here. You know, yeah. Apparently they've changed some of the boss battles.
They've added kind of with Kamoshida. There's it brings in certain characters that aren't necessarily in the palace at that time. So some of the side characters, and it brings them into this palace and their distortions of what they are in the real world. So it kind of incorporates, and what the, like he's got a new attack as well, and it is savage. Like it so if you think you know how to beat these bosses, you don't. They've given, like, you aren't just going to go in here and know exactly how the palaces play out. They've changed that, so their kind of new attack is really kind of going to throw a curveball at you. So again, that's another element to it that they've changed, and it's just really
it's
smart.
Like you said, though, it's just an amazing game. They've actually improved it.
They have improved it, yeah. It's wonderful.
Speaking of wonderful, then, wow, we are literally 3 for 3 on big games that are amazing.
Yeah.
So I suppose it then really falls for me to then tell you about Animal Crossing New Horizons. Oh. 10 out of 10, godisageek.com. It is... I'm sort of hesitant to spend too long talking about it, right? Because everyone's going to play this. Like, Adam Carroll will be back and he will be playing this. You know, we will be talking about this game a lot. But it's everything I could have dreamed it would be, man. Like, it is... But it doesn't do that much new. But also, I'm not sure it needs to, because this isn't Call of Duty where there's a new one every year, or FIFA that has to innovate every year. Like, Animal Crossing came out, I think, 8 years ago. Like, I know that seems mad, but it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was 2012 it came out in, I believe. I don't know, was that the Japanese release date? Oh, sorry.
Not sure.
It was, it was 2013. It's just wonderful. It's just a beautiful cake that you never want to end. It doesn't ask you to do anything you don't want to do. It doesn't force you in any way. You just play it, you know?
Yeah. Oh, man. See, I haven't played Animal Crossing before. It's one of those I've just never got around to. And, like, I just feel this is the perfect game for now.
It is.
I just kind of want to...
It really
get,
is.
I just want to... get lost in it.
Like, I don't want to come across as like, it's not sad, you know, because I'm not one of these guys like, oh well, you know, no emotions from me. But like, and I think people know that listening last week about Final Fantasy VII, this game left me feeling quite emotional at times, because I was a bit concerned about it, because my wife doesn't really play video games. She'll play like you know, she's played motion control stuff. She's like Ring Fit, or she's played Kinect games in the past and stuff like that. And she'll play party games, Mario Party, or, you know, that kind of thing, or Jackbox, you know. But the only game she's ever really like put like a lot of time into was Animal Crossing New Leaf on the 3DS. But that was touch controls. You could play that with a stylus.
Yeah.
And I was a bit worried handing her a pro controller that she would go, we had this discussion before we got hold of the game, and I was sort of saying, do you think you'll play it? She goes, yeah, of course I will. I was like, really? And I handed it to her, and she sort of like, I don't know what to do with this thing. And I was sort of like, oh no, that is, it's like asking someone, it's like saying to someone, oh Chris, could you just suddenly speak to me in Spanish right now, fluently? And you're like, well, no, of course I can't. That's what, to people who don't play games regularly, that's what it's like. That's what you're doing. You're getting, it's a new. It is a language. Controllers are a language. You know, the right stick. You know, I'm saying to her, you know, press down on the D-pad to put your tool away. She's like, "What's a D-pad?" I'm like, yeah, you don't know what that any of that is, do you?
Yeah.
Because you played it all touch control, and yet she loves it. And it left me wondering if maybe this might be the game that she understands the language of the controller, and I can, what's next? What should I suggest next? You know, but there doesn't need to be a next, because she's just playing it. You know, it is exactly what I had hoped for. Like the four of my household fighting over whose turn it is to use the Switch, because we're all on the same island. And again, 7 years ago, my children, like, they're teenagers now. They weren't then. They were into the kind of Nintendo world. And my youngest has always sort of kept playing Mario and stuff and Zelda. But there was a part of me that was thinking, is this going to be the heartbreaker? Nah. I went out to my eldest's football match for 3 hours, come back, and George had done everything we needed to do to get us up to speed on the island. And it was like, yep, we're all in this. And then the moment came, my eldest looked at us, all three of us playing together, and he was like, can I have a go? I was like, yes, you can, son. Yes, you can, son. You know what I mean?
Man, and it was, I'm going to get this. There's no question.
Uh-huh.
But I want to do... Like my wife is exactly the same. Exactly the same. We play... Like, she'll play Crash Team Racing and she'll play Mario Kart. But it doesn't really stretch further than the party games and the Ring Fit. She played Knack 2 with me all that time ago.
Wow.
But, like, she doesn't get the different controls for anything. And I know my girls will love to play this. What I kind of... Like, I want to know what the island is in it. Just... Like, because I've heard a lot of different things and I'm not entirely sure. So there's an island and you can all contribute on your different profiles to the same thing. Is that correct?
So this is one of the things that was the biggest talking point before. And I kept saying, I don't think this is a big deal. And I think now I've played it, the reason I don't think it's a big deal, I can articulate because they've delivered what... Again, I can't speak for other people, but they delivered what I want. So the island... is locked to the Nintendo Switch you make it on, right?
Yes.
X amount of people can live on that island. Player one, in this case me, is kind of... I think they call it like the residence... You're like the resident... I don't know. You speak for all the residents, basically. Yeah. It's the equivalent of, in the older games, the mayor. None of this, by the way, is new. This was all the previous games as well. Now, there are certain things I can do as the kind of leader... that other people can't, and that involves like terraforming things, creating bridges. But what they've kept is the communal aspect. So I can build a bridge eventually, or a slope, or a set of stairs to get up higher. And what happens is then you have to pay for that building, and you can all do that. So you can all do all the things on the island together. You know, you can chop down trees, you can sell cherries, you can, you know, you can catch, you can fill the museum, you can go fishing, catch a carp, and oh, we haven't got one of them in the museum, I'll go donate that. Oh, I've caught another one, I'll sell that one. And you can do all that, and you can pay off your bills and make your house bigger, or you can pay towards the island. And the more you do, the more you build, the more comes to your island, the more happens.
Right. That sounds perfect.
The co-op, man, is... And I didn't think I'd be saying this. I think the co-op is the star.
Right.
Now, the thing that people were worried about, the Switch being very archaic in some ways, like, you know, this is my profile, this is my island, actually pays dividends. Because you just use your in-game Nook phone, which is a mobile phone, it's like a smartphone, and you can invite anyone to your session. Like, so I invite, say, like Claire. And Claire then is kind of the helper. She can use her tools, but she can't access her inventory and she can't pick anything up. And that sounds bad. But do you know how easy it is to switch leader? You just, as leader, shake the controller and then she presses A and now she's the leader. Huh. So say you see a butterfly and she's like, oh, I need that for my you know, Insectopedia sort of thing. And you're like, okay, shake A. Oh, I've now can do it all. And I can pick it up and I can go and do what I want with it and I can donate it. And whoever's leader, there's no transition. They are just now the lead profile. It's all done under the hood and it's so elegant.
Yeah.
It kind of shocked me that they managed to do this. And that does make it, although yes, ultimately Adam, the profile that is Adam, is the kind of the special resident who can change things. That's only really a problem if you are playing with other people on that Switch who you don't like.
Yeah.
Because my kids can just say, can you build a bridge there? And I go, yep. All right. What about there instead? Oh, yeah, it's a good idea. We could talk about it. So the co-op is actually incredibly elegant. You know, like I said, you don't have an awful lot of control as the non-lead. If you wander off, you're warped back to them. So you're supposed to be together. Yeah. But it can make things quicker. So if you're chopping trees down, it knocks out three bits of wood. So what we can have happen here is that George, I'm playing with, he can chop the trees while I pick them up because he can't pick them up anyway. Then we swap lead quickly again, shake, press A. Now I chop while he picks up and it's quite elegantly done.
Yeah.
And the co-op actually is kind of magic. You know, in the game, what you can do, oh, I've just found... I don't know, this... I've just found this thing. It fell out of a tree. Oh, I need one of them. In the past, it's been, okay, what I'll do is I'll go and post it to you. You go to the post office in the game. You send it on a postcard as a present. It charges you 200 bells. And you can still do that. You can still send presents. But also, you could just pick up a Joy-Con, be invited to the world, drop it on the floor, switch to her to leader, and she picks it up and she's got it or he's got it. Just like that. So it's that simple. So it's actually...
Two questions. So say you're playing in co-op. Obviously, you're both on screen at the same time, right?
Yes.
So if I go left and my friend, like Evie, goes right, does it go to split screen and you can kind of wander around separately to follow each other?
No, it doesn't. No, okay. You are tied together.
Yeah, that's
fine. She will, it'll give you a few seconds for her to run back your way and she will just warp off screen and appear next to you.
Yeah, no, that's
it
not
is,
really.
It is proper co-op. You are it is designed for you to play together.
That's fine, yeah.
In the same area.
Second question. So you were saying about your son had been playing it on his own and he'd done stuff to your island. So say I'm playing it, I've spent 6 hours on it, then I come off, go to work. In the day, Lauren's been chipping away at it. When I come home and log in again, I'll notice what she's done in the day.
Yes, yeah.
Oh, that's so cool.
The island's persistent.
That's so cool.
There are a few things I'm still, after a couple of weeks, well, I've had it for a while now, a couple of weeks plus, I'm not 100% sure on. So, for example, in the game, there are rocks. And with rocks, what you do is you mine them. And the way of doing that in Animal Crossing is you dig two holes behind you. And imagine a grid of nine squares with the tenth, nine squares. And the middle one is the rock, okay? Mm-hmm. You hit the rock with your spade nine times quickly and the holes behind you stop you from being sort of knocked out of position. Yeah. And you do that and you get different things. Like you can find a money rock, which gives you loads of money, or you can find one that just gives you stones or clay materials because they've added crafting in this game.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I think they kind of replenish when you change save files, because I've seen Claire do so these things you can do daily, but maybe it's twice a day, because I've seen Claire do those rocks that I know I've done,
yeah,
which shouldn't work.
No,
so I think they either replenish or they that doesn't make a difference to the island. You know, they can't, I mean, they can chop trees down, but that's about as much damage as they could do, and you can just plant trees again. You know, it's everything I hoped it would be. It is everything I wanted it to be. It is a wonderful co-op experience. It is the sunshine on a rainy day. It is all the cliches. It's a grind. It is still a grind. You know, once you paid off your tent and once you paid off your first mortgage on your house, to get your extension, you're talking 198,000 bells. It is a lot to do. But I can never really put into words why I find it so fun and relaxing. It just, like, I come home and I instantly want to play my couple of hours. Because Animal Crossing isn't a game you can play for 12 hours.
No.
It is kind of, you are reaching up a limit of what you can do in a day playing it, to the point where the diminishing returns, like you are literally selling wood or stone and it's not getting you enough for your time. Where, you know, and that's another thing, it becomes a communal idea of, like, hey, I'm not going to take all the cherries off the trees because I'm going to do the rocks today and I'll leave all the fruit for someone else to sell. You know, if you're a happy family playing together, that stuff just works.
Oh.
And so we'll talk about it more as the weeks come.
Absolutely, yeah.
But I think I'll be playing this all for the rest of the year. I mean, we played New Leaf for years, like absolute, genuinely years we played that game for as a family, and I suspect this could be the same.
Yeah.
And I'm so happy. What more could I want from it, you know?
Yeah,
to bring us all together again.
Yeah.
You know, I haven't seen my kids in the lounge for ages, as about they are, you know?
Mm.
And it's a Switch. They could take it upstairs. They don't. They play it with us, you know. Is it as perhaps technically as impressive as the frame rate of Doom or the depth of Persona 5? You know, maybe not. But I couldn't have asked for more.
Man,
let's get to some listener correspondence then. Chris, Mario and Lego.
Oh yeah.
At LlamaFluff 42 says yes. What do we say?
Yes.
Can you explain to me what this is? Because I haven't really seen much of it.
So basically, from the minute you can you get like your Lego blocks. I'm not being patronising. I don't mean like literal Lego blocks. I mean like you get your Lego sets and you can build different worlds with those sets. And the Mario's kind of like got an electronic thing inside of him, and it I think it interacts with the world. So it's just Mario Lego, where you can build your levels essentially and just play around with it. So I mean,
right,
it looks cool. So I'm not going to be sat there playing with this Lego. I'll build it and leave it, but my kids will. Like, so it's got right. that Lego, like, for adults love to build Lego. A lot of adults do. I do. And then the kids just want to play with it, so they'll play with it. So, again, it's something that work together as a family. Like, it looks amazing. Mm. It looks really cool.
And you're a big yes to this?
I am, yeah. I think it's a great move for Lego and Nintendo. I think it's a pairing made in heaven, really.
I mean, as someone who really hasn't seen much on it, I can't comment. But if Chris says yes, I'd probably say yes.
I think so. And I think it opens the doors for other stuff. I don't want to get ahead of myself. So Mario, Lego,
yeah.
Tom, yes.
Okay. With no E3 this year, Chris, do you think it's less likely the conference will survive next year?
I think it's a great thing, if I'm being completely honest.
Ooh. No, but do you think it will survive?
Yeah.
You do?
I think so. We'll do it.
Do you think there'll be an E3 2021? Right now, we're going to nail your colours to the mast.
Well, I'd never, like, the way the industry is going with reveals and stuff, there probably will be an E3 2021, but it'll have nothing on what it used to be.
Right.
Like, last year, it was not the same. Not just because of Sony, but because it just there's the better ways of showing stuff off now. And like Nintendo have done it for a long time. I mean, they have been at E3, you know, over the last few years or whatever, but they're Nintendo
Directs.
Yeah, they're
properly there as well. They just don't do a conference.
No, but I'm quite like the Game of the Year was cool. You saw a lot of new releases there. Have some more conferences just through the developer, like the devs, like broadcast live or do something that doesn't have a lot of people all in one place. I get the atmosphere is great and it's fantastic and all, but I like me personally, I could never be asked to go to E3. Like I know that like they get to play the stuff, but again, it's like 20 minutes a pop, so it's good for like journalists to get to see the games and for the fans to get to see the games. But I don't want to play them unless I get to play them for longer. I'd rather just be like, oh, that looks amazing, I'm excited for that, and then watch it, and then when like if there's a preview event or when we get to review, then play it. I don't want to I don't want everything thrown at me all the time and see everything. I want to, like, we're going into Animal Crossing and Doom. I've tried not to watch a lot of it so that I can just kind of play them. So I think it's a good thing that it's not happening. Maybe not financially for them. I don't know. I mean, I'm not really up on that. But yes, it'll probably go ahead next year. But I'm happy with the way like State of Play is going and the Nintendo Directs, and I hope others follow suit, really.
I think this year they will all do Nintendo Directs, and I think they will all realise very quickly, oh, hang on, we can do this for a 100th of the cost that it normally costs us to go to
E3. Absolutely, yeah.
And we've lost nothing from doing it. We won't be spending those millions again on E3. And I think E3 will try and come back, but I just don't think it will be like it's now. It can't be.
Like
I think this is, people will not miss it, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, the when E3 has happened, and in the month after, we get invited to a few events where we get to play the E3 footage. Like, I'd much rather just do that because it'd save them a lot of money. If they're just going to come back to wherever they're based and then show it off.
The thing is, like, for a site like God Is a Geek, we can't do E3 the way you need to do E3 to make money on your investment of going
absolutely.
To E3.
Yeah.
It is better for us to cover it from home, and even then, we can't cover it the way others do, and it's just lost its luster, hasn't it?
Yeah.
And Gamescom's more appealing now. And to be honest with you, we won't mention the C word because I've had enough of hearing about it, but like that is going to change the way people think about these big gatherings going forward. I think the impact is yet to be known. So no, I don't think the conference will survive. I think it will be a different show. I don't think we're going to get conferences anymore.
Yeah.
I'm going to feel this one. Given a brief and budget to design the perfect toaster, how would you go about it? What features would it have? What would it look like? And how would it advance toaster tech and change lives? Now, I'm going to resist talking about talkie toaster from Red Dwarf. And mine would be simple. It doesn't need to look any different now, but what it needs is micro cameras inside with the smartphone app, so you can monitor the heating of your toast and pop it at the exact right time. Tailor-made, and once you've programmed it that first time, it's kind of, you know, got smart tech integrated, and you can say, I won't say the A word in case anyone's listening on speakers and it sets off their Amazon device or Apple device or Google. Google, you can say, can't you? Google device. But you will say whichever command you give it, make toast for Adam, and it will know exactly how to toast my toast.
That's not bad.
You can't improve that, can you? That's the ultimate toaster.
No. See, my I wasn't going as high tech as yours, but I wish I had. I just go for a simple, like it looked like a cassette player, old school cassette player, so have a retro feel. You slap your toast into the cassette.
I like that.
And then you close it, but with it being like, it could be toasted every single side, even the top. You get an even spread of toasted bread, and you can, obviously it's gonna have all the fancy settings to make sure you've got it exactly how you want. But I like the look of it. It'll be nice and pretty, and also it'd toast every single millimeter of your bread.
I think combine both those ideas, and we have got the ultimate toaster.
I think so.
Chris, can you think of anything less appropriately named than a share bag? Who shares crisps? What about a team buzz meeting? Can you think of anything?
I don't know. I just want to say I love the word share bag because it's never a share bag. No. I bought a share bag of Whisper Bites. Didn't fucking share them. I got some of them muchos, the nacho cheese ones.
Oh,
stuff like that. Like they're not shareable.
Seems like a good point to just mention that if you do enjoy food talk, patreon.com/godasageek for our $5 a month and upwards tiers, we do a podcast about food called Fork Off. Fork Off. I don't know why I added the O there. Fork Off. Italian special. Fork Off. I particularly dislike the phrase work time, listening and learning, because I particularly find it loathsome that the word listening and learning suggests your school children being, and it, what it actually amounts to is work time being talked at.
Yeah.
And I'm one of these that, like, I respect that I am being paid to do a job. I don't want to listen to any bullshit. I just want to do the job and be paid for it. And I don't want any, I'm past the point where I'm a career person, you know. I am at that age where my job's my job, it pays the bills and I'm grateful for it, and I'll do it to the best of my ability because I do everything to the best of my ability, but I don't need any more. And that sort of thing is for the younger people out there who want a career in whatever it is they're doing. It's not for me. Can't stand it. Christopher Love at Deadbeat Punk, he says, in a world being rapidly stripped bare of scented soaps, pasta spirals and toilet rolls, what's your panic byproduct of choice?
Probably Reese's Pieces and Lucozade.
Okay.
Like, I'll shit on the floor.
What?
I'll go without toilet roll if it means I get to have my Lucozade.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I just thought that was just a statement.
It was a statement. It had nothing to do with the fact that knobheads are rushing out and buying a load of toilet roll. Lucozade and Reese's Pieces.
I mean,
that's not very like a logical thing to do. I do get that, but
I've never done it, so I can't. I porn. I don't know. You don't need to buy it now. I suppose you've got the internet. What do you really need? What would I panic by? I'd probably just get loads of bread and milk and freeze it because, like,
oh, bread. You never have enough bread.
I don't know. I feel like there's a theme here, because Kieran at McPoo says, what's your number one toilet paper alternative that isn't made out of made out of paper? And I'm going to be honest with you, Chris, I don't understand the question.
So what would you use as toilet paper instead? Like a sheet.
Well, a flannel.
Yeah, that's an answer. You could have a flannel.
I mean, I'd burn the flannel after use, but
you could rewash it.
So you've got a flannel, you've run out of toilet paper, we know why, I'm not going to say the C word, I said that last week, but it was a different one. You've run out of toilet paper, no one's got any toilet paper completely, the world's toilet paper reserves have been run dry, and you've got flannel, and you use the flannel, let's just say it, you wash your ass with your flannel, that's fine, it's totally fine, You're telling me that even if you then wash the flannel, you know, stuck it in the washing machine, you'd happily then like wash your face with that flannel later?
No, I wouldn't.
You wouldn't, no, would you? You'd have to be... I mean, it's the apocryphal tale of... I remember seeing it on Reddit about the person who had like an arse flannel for this very thing. And, you know, they went around the mother-in-laws or father-in-laws with their partner. No, sorry, they went around their mum with their partner, and their partner went to get the toilet and goes, oh, you know... Oh, it's really nice, you know, that you've left a flannel in there for people to guests to wipe themselves, you know, that wipe their hands with and stuff. And then when they went out the room, the son was like, or daughter was like, I think they just washed their face with your arse flannel. You know what I mean? It's
I think you just need to eat properly so that you're a clean. You when you go to the toilet, it's a clean drop.
And oh, you then want just, a ghost poo? Is that what you're saying?
And then just get in the shower, give yourself a bit of a wash.
You're having a shower every time you have a shit?
No, but I don't, I mean...
Or are you saying that you get the end of the shower and just kind
make
a bidet with it and just...
Yeah, see, I go at least once a day. This is some insight for everybody.
But you say that like that's weird. I would have thought most people go once a day.
I was going to say once a day, but there's normally one around 7 or 8 after tea. So it's more likely 1 to 2.
Yeah, okay.
Every day.
I think that's reasonable.
So if we are going into, again, we're not, but if we do, then you need to eat better so that you don't need to, when you do go, it's not a mess, but you need to hold it in so you're not going for 2 shits a day. Maybe you're going for 1 every 2 days so that your showers aren't, you know, every time you have a shit. Because I'd be having 2 showers a day at this point, and
I have to say I disagree a bit. If I've got some pipe work that needs dealing with, I'm not holding it at 24 hours. It's coming out.
No, but we've got no choice. The world's ending.
Well, I've got a garden and a shovel.
Yeah, I haven't. And I've got a dog, God. So...
But you got a window, ain't you?
I've got a window. I can throw it at my neighbours.
Just do it out the top floor.
Yeah, all right.
Certainly to be this... I mean,
in fact, I'll take it to the supermarket and start throwing it at all the people that are panic buying toilet roll.
I mean, I'm going to ask you a question. Have you ever used a bidet?
I haven't.
Nor have I. That's the end of that one, then. Fair enough.
I'd like to. Averse to it.
Would
yeah.
you, though?
Yeah,
see,
I think
I
would.
I don't know that I would. Because high pressure, though, and don't you have to use just more toilet paper? Don't you have to use a flannel then to dry yourself?
No, I'd wipe efficiently, and then I'd have
a
little go.
What's the point of a bidet, then?
Don't know. Maybe it feels nice. I'm not saying I want to use it all the time. I just fancy a blast on one, just to see.
Yeah, okay, let's move on. Kieran also wants to know, what video game house would be... Oh, there's definitely a theme. Sorry, Kieran, I didn't mean to go, at your question, but there's definitely a theme this week. You'll never know how much I've had to listen to about this fucking thing this week. But which video game house would be the worst to self-isolate in? He says, the Baker House from Resident Evil 7. I'm going to say the house in PT.
Oh my God, yeah. That'd
I would
be horrific.
Probably put my head down the... No, well, I just... Oh, God.
Oh, you just go in one door, start back at the beginning. Have that
bloody... that too. I just meant the horror stuff.
Oh, yeah, no. It wasn't the fact that I'd have to walk a bit too much. The girl at the top when that fridge is swinging and... Oh, God, it's shit scary. I wouldn't like that very much. I think that's a perfect shot.
It's the answer, isn't it?
But RE7, oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, similar question at Pete Beckett 1. In the world where people are getting isolated from people due to the illness, thank you for using the word the illness and not the actual, I appreciate that. What's the perfect game to play that makes 2 week period fly by? Animal Crossing.
Yeah, I haven't even played it. I think it sounds
You know
right.
I'm right though, do you? Yeah,
yeah Animal I Crossing. Do.
Or mate, not be funny, Persona.
Yeah? Oh, God, yeah. Yeah.
Start with Golden, then move on to 5 Royal.
Oh, my God. Yeah, the amount of hours you could spend in that world. The Witcher, yep. Always a classic.
Yeah, it's a good one, actually.
You got the DLC as well, to in case you get done a bit sooner. That world's immersive.
Yeah, that's a good one. Right, Chris, I'm going to hit you with a surprise one now, okay? You have to get... we're not going to go into any detail. We're just going to answer these questions. And if you want to do this at home and jump into our Discord if you're a Patreon or tell us where we're wrong, do it at God is a Geek on Twitter. This comes from Lane It, who is a Patreon and is on Discord. So... just have to answer. I'll ask the question. You give the answer. I'll give my answer as well after you. Leftover pizza on the counter or in the fridge?
Counter.
Fridge for me. Okay. Right. Do you reheat it or do you eat it cold?
Eat cold.
Reheat it for me. Wow, we are very different. I think I know the answer to this one. Ketchup, cabinet or fridge?
Don't have ketchup. I have brown sauce and I'll keep that in the fridge.
No, no, no. Where would you keep ketchup?
Fridge.
Why do you not have ketchup?
I don't like
no,
it.
Well, I said no additional stuff. Sorry.
Right. Fridge.
Okay. So these are just for me then, I guess, if you don't have ketchup. So ketchup on eggs. Sometimes. Yes, if a bit on scrambled, tiny bit on a poachy. Yeah. On mac and cheese. No, definitely not. On steak. No, not on steak.
Oh no.
Okay. I think because he's American and I don't.
Maybe he's chips.
Oh no, he's talking about ketchup still. Sorry. Fries. Do you dip your fries or do you cover them? I'm a cover.
I'm a dip.
Okay. Right, now we're on bread. Ooh. Cabinet or fridge?
Cabinet.
Yeah, cabinet. I don't want to answer this next one. People are going to hate me. Steak.
Why?
Rare, medium, or well done?
I'm medium rare.
I'm incredibly well done to the point where I get looked at by chefs when they're like, oh, didn't want to taste it then, mate. Okay. Mayo, yes or no?
Yeah.
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Eggs. Oh, this is tough. Scrambled, boiled, or fried?
Fried. Hands down.
Scrambled, but it has to be my wife's because she makes them perfectly. Mm. If you have them fried, broken or a runny yolk?
Runny.
Yeah.
I prefer it with a bit solid, but I like it when you get to it and then it starts running.
Runny for me.
Yeah.
Potatoes. Mashed, baked, or fried? That was baked, mashed and baked in one there, wasn't it? Baked. Mashed, baked, or fries?
Fries.
I think mash. Oh, baked, though. Ooh. Oh. But mashed with some cheese in. home fries or hash browns?
Do you know what? Hash browns.
Home fries. Oh, this one's contra. This could cause an argument. Chicken. Boneless or bone-in?
Bone-in. I'm going to say bone-in. I like working at it.
Boneless for me. This next one's evil. Soup or stew?
Stew.
I mean, it's kind of a mallet thing, isn't it? That you say the first one almost. I do like a nice... I mean... Stew. Yeah, casserole. Oh, yeah, casserole stew.
Yeah.
Cake or pie?
Pie. No, cake.
I think cake for me. I think cake for me.
Cake. I don't know. Cake.
Now, I think everyone who listens to our food podcast knows the answer to this, but creamy or crunchy peanut butter?
Crunchy.
Creamy for me. This next one I don't think works for Ush. Ush? I'll just say Ush and leave it at that. I don't think this works for us. Jelly, unless he's asking what we say, in which case there can only be one answer if you're from the UK. Jelly or jam?
Jam.
Jam. Now, what if he means jelly, as you and I know jelly?
Yeah, because I think he means what we said. Like, because peanut butter and jelly sandwiches is peanut butter and jam, innit?
Yeah, but what if he's asking, do we like jelly, as in Roundtree's jelly?
Yeah, maybe. No, jam.
I'd go jelly. I'd go jelly in that case, but jam if it's just how do you say the word. We can't answer the next one because it's asking what our favourite... Oh, no, that's... No, I think he's asking... Is your favourite meal breakfast, lunch or dinner?
Breakfast.
Are we talking... I guess we're talking like on your day off and when you get to pick it and...
Yeah, not like shoving a few biscuits down my throat before I go to work.
I don't know. I mean, a cooked breakfast is heaven.
That's what I mean.
But, you could have a nice homemade pizza for dinner or lunch. You could just have anything.
Yeah, but...
Like a Greg sausage roll or something.
The breakfast like sets you up. I hate going to work hungry and then having to wait till dinner. Because I basically get up and then go. I don't know what you're like. I don't really have time
I take tablets now, so I have to have breakfast, but I don't enjoy it.
Yeah.
Because it's not the breakfast. I'm going to say dinner, Chris. I'm going to say dinner.
No, that's fair.
And this is a killer question to end on, question. Chris. Is a hot dog a sandwich?
I've never thought about it before in my life. However, is a burger a sandwich? I know that's not the question, but I'd say no, a hot dog isn't a sandwich.
I would have said no until I thought about it, and I think it is because it's two bits of bread with a filling.
Yeah, but sandwich is about like layering it with a bit of butter.
Yeah, but if you
a
took a hot dog, as we think of a hot dog, and turned it on its side, that's a sandwich. It's just not with sandwich bread.
But it's a type of. Oh no, I don't think it's a sandwich.
I mean, is a burger a sandwich? Again, it's two bits of bread, but it's to all intents and purposes, a burger is a sandwich.
Well, it is because the chicken sandwich is calling it a sandwich, but it's actually a chicken burger.
I'm going to say a hot dog's a sandwich, and my world has changed forever right now.
I don't feel good. I feel off. That's a question.
It doesn't feel right, but it doesn't have to feel right.
No.
Well, and on that note, thank you very much for listening to our podcast this week. We hope you enjoyed the games. But so we're probably talking about a couple of these over the next few weeks. We'll get some different opinions on them from our guys. Who doesn't love that? Chris, thank you for being here, mate.
Thank you for having me.
Where can people find you, mate?
You can go on Twitter at FirstAvenger83. That's pretty much where I do my spark my shit. So, yeah.
Fair enough. And then find me on this podcast. So keep listening.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for your time, Chris. Make sure you have a look at our Patreon, youtube.com/GodIsAGeek. If you don't know, our video reviews got there, and we take great pride in the professionalism of those. Have a look. Have a look, see what you think. We enjoy it, and we think people seem to be responding to our style of video review. We're very pleased. I say patreon.com/GodIsAGeek. Facebook, yeah, just be cool, like we are. The cool ones who put a podcast out called Phone In. That's what this one's called, Chris. Bravo. Thanks very much for listening, and we'll speak to you next week or whenever you choose to listen. Bye-bye for now.